Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, why a global compact on migration should also address the threat of human trafficking. And we hear about hindrances to women's access to judicial rights in Nepal. But first, migrants and refugees being held on the Pacific island of Nauru are completely without hope, according to the regional head of the UN Human Rights Office, OHCHR. Nauru has been operating an offshore processing center for the Australian government despite calls from the UN and other organizations to shut it down. A vast majority of the people in these centers were transferred by Australia to Nauru more than 3 years ago. Many women have said they have been sexually assaulted at the centers. Julia Dean has been speaking to Chitra Massey, who heads up OHCHR's regional office in Fiji.
For us, the main challenge continues to be the fact that people are being held in not just prolonged detention, but indefinite detention, which makes them completely without hope at the moment. There is no knowledge of when this detention, or as they perceive it, a punishment, is going to come to an end. This brings with it a number of complications for them, starting from the physical safety and security of the refugees themselves, the number of crimes reported against them, particularly of the sexual and gender-based violence against women and children, including boys, and the fact that there has been almost total impunity for any of these crimes. Adding to that complication is the fact that, as has been repeatedly said, prolonged detention brings with it a negative impact on mental health of individuals.
What cases of abuse have you heard about?
We have a number of cases of women who were raped, who have been unable to report this and go to the police for fear of reprisals. We have a number of cases of men who have been beaten up or have been robbed. We have a number of cases of children who have been assaulted, either physically assaulted, sexually assaulted, or threatened. Their mental condition being such, my team found that almost more than 90%, or almost the entire population, is either on antidepressants or on medication to help them to just make it through the day. Clearly an untenable situation. Very shocking, very appalling, especially given in light of the fact that it is easily avoidable to look for an alternate human rights-based approach to the situation.
And what other recommendations has the Office for Human Rights made to the government of Nauru?
We've given them a long list of recommendations, which include something as simple as making sure that people with urgent medical needs are provided that urgent medical need, even if it needs evacuation to Australia. That must be a priority. Families that need support must be provided the support. Access to education is a fundamental human right and must be provided. Children in the refugee camps or the detention centres, or now living within the community, all of them have not been able to go to schools. The vast majority are just at home. There has been one of the most alarming statistics on amount of self-harm done by children as young as six in this situation.
Nearly 250 million people, or just over 3% of the world's population, live and work outside their countries of origin, according to UN data. While the experience has been beneficial for many, the fear is that, with global displacement at a record high, more people might fall into the hands of organized crime gangs who buy and sell human beings like products. At a recent meeting here at UN headquarters, ambassadors heard why the scourge of human trafficking needs to be factored into a proposed global compact on migration. It follows a newly agreed international declaration to protect the rights of refugees and migrants. Countries are now working towards creating a global compact for safe, orderly, and regular migration to be operational by 2018. John Brandolino heads the Division for Treaty Affairs at the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, one of the sponsors of the meeting.
And generally, those trafficking routes follow the overall migratory flows. And the majority of trafficking victims detected globally by member states, around 60%, are foreigners in the country of detection, most of them migrants. Also, information has shown an increasing detection of victims from conflict-affected areas such as Syria, Iraq, and Somalia, in countries in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East.
About 10% of the population of the Philippines, or 10 million people, is living overseas. The country's ambassador to the UN, Lourdes Iparaguirre, said the proposed global compact should address the vulnerability of migrants, especially women and children, who make up nearly 80% of victims.
We also want to see a global compact that institutionalizes accountability in both countries of origin and destination with respect to violation of migrants' rights. Such accountability should be consistent with the core human rights conventions that provide for access to justice and access to legal and judicial systems.
Measures to address human trafficking are also included in three of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, which aim to create a better world by eliminating extreme poverty and promoting environmental protection. European Union Ambassador to the UN, João Valéry de Almeida, stated that people must be at the heart of it all.
Resolutions, SDGs, these are tools, these are instruments that hopefully will allow us to better address, better respond, better prevent suffering of human beings around the world. And I think it's very important that we, every time we start a discussion like this one here, that we make a clear distinction between what is essential and what is instrumental. People are essential, everything we do are instruments to allow us to address the issues that people are facing throughout the world.
The UN Office on Drugs and Crime, one of the co-sponsors of the meeting, will publish its latest report on human trafficking in November. Lack of awareness of legal remedies, complex court procedures, and financial constraints are some of the issues women face in accessing justice. This is according to a UN official from Nepal. Sudhir Bhattrai, undersecretary in Nepal's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, participated in a recent event at UN headquarters on developing a transformational approach to ensure every woman's access to justice. According to UN Women, in countries like Nepal, less than a third of women victims of violence and discrimination seek support from the justice sector institutions. The nation recently launched a report to understand some of the hindrances women face in accessing their legal rights. Priyanka Shankar has been talking to Sudhir Bhattrai about these issues.
There are many legal remedies available, but lack of knowledge is there. So maybe awareness is required to tell the victims or women that these are the legal remedies available. Similarly, financial constraint is there. They have to go to the competent authorities, but sometimes financial constraints may prohibit them. Similarly, there is, I think, lack of awareness among various legal remedies. So these are some measures we have to do to effectively implement access to justice for women in Nepal.
So you're saying at the end it just doesn't come back to only legal affairs. There needs to be a more holistic approach?
There should be a comprehensive approach. As we promulgated our constitution last year, there are many, like right of women is one of the fundamental rights. Right to lineage, right to ancestral property. Reproductive health have been given, but this has to be this has been implemented. Like we repeal almost 90 law provisions that are contrary to the gender perspective. So this is being done, I think. So these are the things we have been doing to increase the access of justice to women in Nepal. There are so many provisions, inclusive democratic provision are enshrined in our constitution. So that has to be transferred, and it takes some time to transfer or implement the constitutions.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.